Jazz here, and I am so digging the GeekCast Radio Network.
Greetings, humans. This is Starscream, and you're listening to ToyCast. And if any of you call me a partsformer one more time...
Now, ToyCast. Oh, yes. Listen in to the only toy podcast you will ever need.
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of ToyCast. It's me, get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. And what does the TFG1 stand for? Well, most people listening to this know, but it is Transformers Generation 1. Not what somebody thought it stood for a couple of years ago, which was the fucking great one. Sorry, folks, I'm not that, you know... I'm not that egotistical. Today's featured guest is someone I've been following on Instagram. She is a cool Funko creator over there. She does all kinds of stuff in her Funko bliss. It's Chrissy. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I could complain, but it doesn't help.
Yeah, I understand that.
Exactly. So... it's time we started talking toys here on ToyCast, and this, as everyone knows, is Origins, and it's 42 questions all about toy collecting. What is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
Oh, man. Okay, so one of my favorite memories, I would say... there's like a few different paths that I could go with this. There was a toy that I made... when I was a kid, because I was very creative and constantly busy with wanting to make stuff, is I once made, like, did you ever watch the show Yu-Gi-Oh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so remember those hysterical, like, wrist sword things that they would have on their arms and they would put the cards in?
Yeah, the dual discs, yeah.
Yeah, I, like, and it was, like, giant and long and it looked like a sword. I made one out of... a sweat wristband, cardboard and duct tape, and taped in like the plastic sheets for cards.
Oh, wow.
And made it like dual leveled so I could put different cards into different slots and it could like hold my whole deck as well. So like that was one of my favorite things that I just like went with everywhere and played with that. But I would say probably my first toy ever was a Ariel Barbie doll.
Really? That's...
yeah. I loved The Little Mermaid. That was, like, my jam.
Very cool. Very cool. No, I say really because I wouldn't think that Disney and Mattel would do a collab like that, but I guess they would, obviously, if it's going to make them money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've been making princess dolls forever, which I know dolls are not toys, technically, but I kind of mixed and matched. Like, I would have my, like... X-Men action figures playing with Barbies and G.I. Joes. Like, I just didn't care. Like, I just wanted everyone as crossovers.
Yeah, absolutely. I had Castle Grayskull, and outside of Castle Grayskull, I had standing next to it He-Man, Lion-O, Dick Tracy, and Batman. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
What great combinations, too.
I know, right? All right. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid? Was there anyone who was unsupportive?
Oh, I would say that no one was super supportive in particular, which is sad, I know. But I was a weird kid, so I would say that everyone just thought that I was odd to be... playing with the toys that I did and how I was playing with them. Cause I'm just a very creative, like inventive person in my head. Like I just have a very good internal world. And when I'm playing with stuff, it becomes real to me. So I wouldn't say anyone was super supportive, but I just did it anyways. I just didn't give a shit. I was like, I'm going to make, like, I once made a toy duck out of coffee filters and tape and, like, named him and put a leash on him and walked him around the house and my, like, mom and dad's workspace, like, where their offices were. I would, like, walk around the building with, like, a fake toy duck made out of coffee filters.
Wow. That's crazy cool. That's awesome. That's, I don't know what a duck made out of coffee filters would look like. Do you have a picture of that?
I'm pretty sure I could find one, but it's like, just imagine like a coffee filter flattened out.
Yeah.
And multiple of them taped together to make it thick. And then stapling one on each side of its body with like, so you'd have the wings and then doing that again to make the head. And then I used like a foam cup that I just cut and like taped on as the mouth.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All I can think of is to make the head, it would look like the cones that animals have to use when they go in for like the dog cones. Like, when the dog, like that's all I can think of is that. Oh, that's funny. That's awesome.
Maybe I'll find it and I'll like post it on my social media and be like, this was my first ever like Chrissy's Funko Bliss made toy.
That's cool. That's awesome. What types of toys were your favorites to play with? So action figures, dolls, et cetera, et cetera.
I would say it is pretty even between dolls, but I would like, I didn't like big dolls. Like I liked Barbies. I liked the idea of being able to change the clothes, and I would even like alter my Barbies. Like I would cut their hair if I didn't like it, and I would like style them differently and put clothes on different things. And then I would say like my X-Men action figures. Like I loved my like X-Men. I feel like they're called like Legends now. I don't know what they were called when I was a kid, but that similar, like I think maybe 6-inch style action figure. And I had like all the X-Men and I had like Angel and Storm and Rogue and all of those. And I would just like hang out with all of them. Those were my favorite.
That's cool. That's awesome. So which ones stood out more than the rest? You mentioned X-Men, you mentioned Barbie, but are there any others that stood out more so than the rest of your toys that you had?
I would probably say my X-Men are the biggest iconic thing that I would collect. Those were just my absolute favorite. But I had this really cool, Invisible Woman doll from the, like, or action figure from the movies. Mm-hmm. And she was like half turning invisible and stuff like that. And it's Jessica Alba as it. And it was just awesome. That was like my favorite thing. I took that everywhere.
That's so cool. That's awesome. Well, we've been talking about it off air, folks, and we've been talking about it a little bit on air. And the whole reason for question five is because in my family, as a kid in the 80s, my aunts and my uncles and my grandparents, they'll be like, oh, okay, well, I see you're playing with your dolls again, but do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
That is such a good question. Because I like all-encompassing things because I feel like there's a lot of people out there that like to bully or make fun of people for certain things that they like. And then there are people that find pride in what they do. So I'm kind of 50-50 on that. I like the overarching term of just like toy because I think that that's where it comes from. Like it comes from either like trauma and you're trying to heal and it's bringing you back to a childlike experience that you had, or you just enjoy them and that's great. Or you're trying to hold on to your childhood in some way. So I feel like toy is great, but I know that some people are really particular, like it's an action figure or it's a collectible or it's a doll. Like that's okay, but we don't have to be like aggressive about it either. It's totally fine.
Yeah, true. Very true. Good guys or bad guys, which toys were your favorites to play with the most?
Good guys, I would say. I think it was just because like there was more of them. in stories, and they were easier to find those toys. Yeah, when it comes to, like, the X-Men characters, like, there weren't a lot of, like, Magneto and, like, Apocalypse. Like, there were some, but they weren't a lot of those types of villains.
Right.
Because it would be, like, the whole team going against, like, one enemy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that... then that enemy usually has an army of his own. Like Magneto has the Brotherhood and all those guys, yeah, and everything else. But yeah, sometimes they short packed various characters, whether it's hero or villain. Sometimes, yeah, certain toy lines, you could only find the villains or you could only find the heroes, which was weird. But
yeah, because like I didn't remember getting a lot, like seeing a lot of Brotherhood figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of made me upset because I really liked them.
Yeah. What is or was your favorite toy vehicle or playset?
Oh, okay. This is so cool. I had the Jurassic Park. The second one was called The Lost World, right?
Yep.
Or is that the third one? Okay. No, the second one. The second one was Lost World. Yeah. I had the Lost World, like, giant bus thing that could open up and had the operating table for the baby T-Rex.
Oh, wow.
And it was like the giant van bus, and there was like two parts. You had the front and the back, and they connected. And man, I just loved the shit out of that thing. That saw so much time.
That is so cool, yeah.
Because I would use it for everything. Like, it wasn't just for T-Rex and like for like my Jurassic Park toys, but because I also had a lot of dinosaurs. I loved animals and dinosaurs, so.
Yeah, I was a huge dinosaur fan as a kid. I had dinosaur bed sheets. There's a picture of me on Facebook of because I'm usually fine taking pictures of myself now if I'm taking the picture, but usually when anyone else was taking the picture, it's like, no, don't take my picture. Go away. And I remember my mom wanted to take my picture one day, and I just threw up my pillow, and my Pteranodon pillowcase was on the pillow at the time. So yeah, that's dinosaurs are cool. They
they always have been.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Did you and your friends ever pretend with your toys that you had? By this I mean, did you say, I'm going to be this toy and you can be that toy? Like, Chrissy can be this and her best friend can be this thing, whatever different thing. Like, you know, kind of like live action role play, but it's not really live action role play.
I did both. I did live action role play all of the time. With my friends, and also like role play as toy, like as characters and stuff like that with my action figures and stuff like that. But what is a little interesting, which I'm going to share with you, which it's scary to talk about, but I want to do it anyways, because I think that here is a safe space to talk openly and honestly about like who we are as people.
Absolutely. But
you're going to be the first one to know this throughout all my social media, is that I actually am trans, and I did not get to grow up playing with girls. I had to play with boys. And what was interesting is that I always played as the girl characters. Like, I would always be Jean Grey. I'd always be Storm. I'd always be Rogue. And everyone else was like the guy characters, and or like I would be Tomb Raider, especially like I loved those video games growing up, and I always wanted to be like girl characters, like Yuna from Final Fantasy X or like Tifa from 7. Like, I just loved female characters, and I think that that's like definitely part of who I am, especially when like coming out and your whole family is like, wait, what? And I'm like, you didn't see any of the signs?
Yeah.
I liked everything girly. Like, I liked everything that was girl related. So like, I played as much as possible with like the idea of being a girl character in every aspect.
And that's absolutely fine, because that's who you are, and that's what you like. Like, you know, And we're going to get into this way, way later, folks, because question, I think it's 22 or something. That's usually when we start with the Funko stuff. But like, I remember, and this has nothing to do with orientation or any of that. It has nothing to do with that. But like, I think it was, 2009, 2010, 2011 when Hasbro came out with Mighty Mugs. Mighty Mugs are essentially the precursor to Funko Pops before Funko did Pops. And they're essentially the same types of PVC vinyl characters. Their heads moved, their arms moved, that kind of stuff. You know, and everybody was like, oh, you like Mighty Mugs? But it was like, you know, that's an inaction figure. That's not a, that doesn't have 27 points of articulation. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't want 27 points of articulation. Same thing why I collect Funko. Like, I don't want to like sit here and, you know, Darth helmet my toys. I'm not like sitting here smacking them together or whatever else. Like, I just want to look at the characters, like, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, who the hell is, you know, anyone that judges anyone on what kind of toys that they like, or that's just, I'm way past all of that. Like,
yeah.
And
like, I have statues that are like DC girls, and I have old DC like figures. Oh, man, I forgot what the name of them are called, but I have like the whole set of them. And then I have even Play Arts Kai.
The superpowers figures.
No, it's like they're like 6-inch tall action figures.
DC
was coming out with them a while ago, and they kind of stopped. It was like the New 52 run,
right?
A lot of their main like it was like Justice League something or other. I always get confused between like Legends, because that's like Marvel specific, but like it's the same Marvel thing, Legend. But with DC.
Yeah.
I even have like a Play Arts Kai Catwoman from The Dark Knight Rises. Like, I like everything. If I like something, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I like Transformers. That's my boyfriend's favorite thing. Like, he loves Transformers. He loves Dragon Ball Z. Like, that's his realm. And I have Marvel and Star Wars and stuff, but we like each other's things. It's really fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of being in a relationship with anybody, is that you each bring something to the table and you each start liking what the other one likes, and, you know, you share in the experience. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
Ooh. Repeat that question. That's a good one.
What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
Oh, this is a good, like, that's such a good question. Cause I'm like, I love Funko Pops because I love all the small intricate details that they put into the Funko Pop. And I feel like it looks like the character even. Like, so accurately. Man.
I stumped her, folks. We're not even...
I know. We're not even that far. Oh, man.
All right. Question number 9. What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
I am going to go with... the clothing.
Okay.
I really like the fashion of a character, and that has to be like spot on for me to really like it.
Yeah.
Like if I get a toy or a Funko Pop and it's like, it really doesn't look like the character because of the clothing's off, it throws it off for me. I kind of lose interest in it. I went to fashion school, and I've always been really into like drawing anime characters when I was a kid, and clothing has just always been a very important thing for me. So I would say like the clothing of a character is really important.
Very cool. Very cool. What does toy packaging have to draw you in? So you go to the store, whatever store it is. Of course, nowadays there are no such things as toy stores anymore, but you go to the store, you go to the toy section, you see a Funko Pop, whatever it is, you see this, you see like 4 or 5 different things. What does the packaging have to make you pick one over the other?
Oh, nothing. I don't care about packaging.
Right.
Like, I don't give one flying fuck about packaging. Like, I just don't care. It's going in the trash. For most of it, unless it's like a play arts Kai or it's like a figure where I'm like, okay, this is really fragile. I want to make sure that I keep the box for safety purposes if I'm moving. But other than that, I don't care about the box, to be honest, unless it comes with like small parts that you can like replace, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to the character.
Exactly. And my twisted mind goes, yeah, small parts that you have to replace because some kid ate them. Here, little Johnny, we're going to go pump your stomach at the high. And I know this has happened before because that's why they put the choke warning on there because, you know, keep your toys away from little kids, folks.
Yep.
And so you are an open person collector, so question 11 is essentially frivolous at this point, but I'll say it anyway. Do you open your toys or do you keep them packaged? If you keep toys packaged, do you have a specific criteria for this, which you just kind of answered that, unless it's something specific for the, you know, to keep the fate, the code of a key or whatever the hell it is, but you are a fully open box person.
I am. I fully open box everything that I have.
Very cool. If as a kid / an adult, you were only allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which one would you choose and why?
X-Men. For sure. Because like, there's so much variety with them.
Yep.
When I was a kid. I would say now Funko Pops, but like that's not really a franchise. Well, that's like a whole brand.
It's a whole brand.
I would say Marvel because it's so broad now with everything. But in particular, I would probably say the X-Men action figures back in the day were my everything. Yeah,
absolutely. As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
Modern because they're more accurate and like have those small details that I really look for. I'm a very observant person. And so I really like to break things down. If you see my TikTok at all, I don't know if you're on there at all, but I do have a TikTok and I do breakdown videos of every new Funko Pop that I get. And I try to get as detailed as possible. I do research on it to make sure it's as accurate. I watch the source material while I'm writing my script. So then that way I can really make sure that everything is as accurate and detailed as possible because there's so many cool things to talk about with a character. I don't want to just be like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I want to do something different. I just want to talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm an old man and my mind usually ends up in the gutter and somebody always usually comments about this, folks, I guess I really need to rephrase question 14, but what is one toy you can always play with? Now, usually when I ask people that, their minds all go, and I'm like, no, what is, like, and I don't mean sit here and play with it, but like, what is one toy? That's, I'm actually gonna, what is this? Yeah, I'm redoing this right now on the air. I'm not even going to edit this. You always I don't even care about that.
Gravitate towards.
Yeah. There. All right. So what is one toy you always gravitate to more than the others?
Okay. So I would say that there's like two. It's the Invisible Woman action figure that I had of Jessica Alba because I grew up in that period where like Jessica Alba was everywhere and I absolutely loved her, adored her, and was like, she is an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment. I absolutely loved her. And then I also had an X-Men Emma Frost action figure and she was clear with like besides her clothing. And she's just so freaking hot. Like I love her heels. I loved the posing that I could do and stuff like that. And she had a cloak that could come off and it was just really cool. So those are my two that I would say I like always gravitate towards and can like fiddle with when I'm like anxious or needing something. But nowadays I would say it's my Scarlet Witch Funko Pop, the Multiverse of Madness one where she is like levitating with her powers. Oh, no. That one is like my go-to fiddle with.
Yeah, which one do I? I have one of the spellbook ones. It was the entertainment. I think it's the Entertainment Earth glow in the dark one that I have.
Oh sure, yeah.
I think that was from WandaVision. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, part. I'm hoping that the red glow in the darks get better.
Yeah, sometimes
they're just so weak.
Yeah, sometimes they do glow in the dark really well, and then other times it's like they don't even care.
Yeah.
Or they don't try hard enough. So even though there are always toy lines that people never purchase, are there any that you specifically and purposefully avoid? This can be a toy line, character, etc.
I don't think so. Like, I don't think there's anything that I would avoid on purpose. Like, if I could, if I had the finances, I would have so much random shit. Like, I want lightsaber hilts, and I want helmets. And, like, I never got into Bratz, but I wouldn't say that I, like, avoided them. That wasn't my – it just wasn't my thing. Like, I was at a certain age where it just didn't intrigue me enough.
Yeah.
But I didn't avoid anything, I would say.
Very cool. Are there any toys in the past or currently that you wish you had not bought them? Are there any toys that you may have sold that you regret letting them go?
I don't think I ever sold anything because I'm just not that type of person, especially because I don't keep any of the boxes. So the monetary value is probably pretty low. But I would say that, like, I gave my nieces and nephews, like, or nephew, sorry, my nephew action figures when I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever, like, have these again or use them. And now that I've finally gotten into a place where I'm like, I want to be proud of being a collector because of the, like, shame that I felt so for so long that I was like, I don't want to have these anymore because it's just people make me feel like shit for it. But now I'm like, no, this is going to be my life and I absolutely love it and I love collecting. So it's sad that, like, I let things kind of go because there are things that are missing now and toys that I'll never be able to get back. And that's sad.
Yeah.
I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sucks. Like,
when I was always a kid.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
When I was like 21.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We didn't know what we were doing back then.
Yeah.
How large or small is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
They're delegated to my office, and I have display cases. I have shelves on my walls. I have, like, bookcases with, like, display stands to put up all my Funko Pops. And then I have... So I actually just went home recently to my parents' house and I picked up this crate of my old DC figures that I was telling you about earlier. And I'm about to be moving, so I'm excited to be able to put them on my wall. And so I got some nice shelving for that as well. But they are usually delegated to, like, one room just so then that way, like, when I'm making content, it's all there.
Yeah. And since you said you were going to be moving at some point, and my thought is, oh, I just saw your rearranging your room video on Instagram. Like, yep, she's going to have to rearrange it all over again.
Oh, yep. Yep, it's so good. But I love it. I love rearranging stuff. Like, it's just, it brings me joy to, like, come up with new things. I don't like things to stay the same. I want to alter, readjust, change things because it's just, I love it. It's so much fun to do so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And while most of my stuff is still in the box when it comes to the pops and stuff, I do still take them out for photos and things like that. And I, the first time I took the 90s, the 1994 Spider-Man Black Cat and the Iron Man, I almost said Hugh Hefner as Stan Lee, but Stan Lee is Hugh Hefner. I took those out in order to take a picture to promote us doing this podcast, and Spider-Man does not stand up. Black Cat comes with a stand, which I was not expecting, and Stan Lee, may the man rest in peace, that Funko Pop, he drunk. Don't drink and pop, folks, because yikes. Like, seriously, the thing slipped out of my hands twice trying to get it back in the box. I don't get it. Like, maybe Stan had too many trips to the Playboy Mansion or something. I don't know. You know, but like, yeah, so I took those out and I took my J. Jonah Jameson out. And this is the classic JJJ, the Beyond Amazing JJJ that just came out recently. And he is Marvel non-bobble.
Wow.
Everybody was freaking out when this pop was announced. And this, I believe, is an Entertainment Earth exclusive. He's non-bobble, and I know exactly why, and I'm actually planning on doing a YouTube video on my channel about this, but I think I know exactly why he is non-bobble, because he's holding a copy of the Daily Bugle up where it says, Spider-Man, threat or menace. Like, there's no good option for Spider-Man when it comes to J. Jonah Jameson, folks. But his right hand is basically touching what would essentially be his chin normally, but it's basically touching the very bottom part of his head. So there's no way, and I guess technically they could because bobbles move around or whatever else, but what if that moved around too much that it affected his hand? So maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe
yeah, or scratched the face.
Yeah, or maybe it's because of some, you know, whatever movie it is or because of the line. Yeah, there have been a few, and we'll talk about this a little bit later as well, but like there have been a few where it's like, oh my god, a non-bobble Marvel Funko Pop. The world is about to break because that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. You know, okay, so as much as I love the bobbleheads, I don't really care that they're bobbleheads or not. I know that some people might dislike that I'm saying that, but it just doesn't bother me because sometimes the bobbleheads are fucked.
Yeah.
Like they're up high, they're down low, you have to twist them. Sometimes like it's bent and it's like, and it falls, it collapses. Like I don't mind if they're just attached in a position, but like I get that it's cool. It's a nice feature, but it just, I don't think that would deter me away or not as a collector of Funko Pops.
And of course, if you left them in the box, it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter. Why would you care?
Exactly. And
that's so much.
Yeah. And that's why half the time I don't care, because when I'm buying Marvel Pops, it's because I want to see them in the boxes. The box art is on most of the Funko Pop boxes. The box art is great. And some artists did that and made that up, and especially those blacklight boxes. I know Funko went a little too crazy with the blacklight, but blacklight Kate Bishop with Lucky is probably my current favorite Marvel Funko Pop.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. See, I've not gotten into the blacklight ones because it's like I don't want to start down another another trendy product, you know? Yeah. Like I'm going to stay in my lane and do like MCU and keep it just the basic plain ones and not branch out too much. Cause like, I can't, if I get one, I'm like, I gotta get them all now.
Yeah. Well, for me, I have a specific, like I said, obviously, and I've been saying this a lot lately, apparently, but, I usually focus on characters I absolutely love. Well, apparently I love too many characters because I have almost 300 of these things, but yeah. The other part for me is my two favorite colors for my entire life, 43 years on this planet, have always been black and purple. And when I say purple, I don't mean light purple. I mean like dark purple, not so dark that it's black, but like, you know, dark, dark purple. And she has purple hair and Lucky has purple fur. Or, you know,
I mean, they're cute.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah they're good pops.
Yeah, I'm not but like, you know, you look at the Funko Pop of Grimace from McDonald's. That's the purple that I like. That kind of like a, you know, that kind
that's
of
a good dark. One.
Yeah, that's a real good one. If you do, how do you keep track of your collection?
I actually have an Excel spreadsheet of every Funko Pop I own. And I try to have, and I only just started doing this since I started creating content. I was like, okay, I want to have a log of like everything. And what that means, let me pull it up because It's quite extensive. I keep a log in one spreadsheet that is anytime I'm ordering something new, I have the item, the Funko number, where is it from? As in, like, is it My Hero Academia? Is it Marvel? Like, and then which project is it from? So, like, is it Captain America Civil War? When is the purchase date? What category is it? MCU, anime, Disney? What's its exclusive? What's the cost of it? And where did I purchase it from? So I have that all on an Excel spreadsheet, just because, one, it's like nice to have this and be able to look at and reference if I need to. But also, like, if something were to happen, I would want to know everything that I had.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
God forbid something happens. There's a flood. There's a fire, an earthquake, some natural disaster. I have to flee the country. Like, you never know what's going to happen. So
Wait. Why would you have to flee the country and not take your pops with you?
I want to be respectful of the fact that you said, like, you don't want to get super political on your page. I want to respect that. But
no. Okay.
There's a lot of anti-trans laws and bills that are trying to be passed.
Okay. Okay.
And there's, you know, kind of an out for us. Like, people want us to be genocided, and I'm not okay with that. Like, And not everyone's going to have the privilege of fleeing the country, but, like, if I need to, I'm going to do whatever I need to survive.
Oh, you know,
that stinks. Yeah. But yeah. If that means I have to leave my collection behind, like, that's what I have to do. I'm hoping that we don't get there. I hope we get some sense in this country to, like, see people as people and human beings, that we all deserve a peaceful, stress-free life. That would be nice, but there are people that hate us, and there are people that fear us, and I'm constantly on edge to make sure that, like, everything around me is okay.
Well, it shouldn't be that way. And it just just sucks. It just absolutely sucks. Do you want me to cut any of that out? Just so I know.
It's okay. You can leave it. I will leave that up to you as the creator of the podcast. I'm okay sharing that information, but I also want to be respectful of, like,
yeah, no, you know, absolutely. Like,
keeping it.
We're talking about plastic here, folks. But usually when people say to me something, like, they give me those three types of options, it's like, this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, and if I have to flee the country. And I'm like, why would you have to? And most of that is usually just like, oh, because of this, or oh, because of that. Or it's because of something stupid, not because of, oh, my God, we are being...
Ugh. Hunted.
Why can't we all just get along? That makes no damn sense. I'm so sorry. That sucks. That just sucks. All right.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. It means a lot.
Absolutely.
To have support.
No, absolutely. Like, I mean, for me, like, again, I'm going to probably edit most of this, what we're saying here, out, obviously. But for me, it's like, not to sound like I'm not ambivalent to any of it, but it's like, if it doesn't, like, the way you are, the way you want to be, the way you want to live your life, it's not effect, like, has no effect on me. Like, again, I'm not trying to sound negative when I say that, but it's like, it's like that old saying, you do you, do what makes you happy, do whatever you need to do. And it's like, I'm here to support whatever that is. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that I don't pay attention, but it's like, I don't have that much of an emotional investment on other people's lives that are not directly connected to me. Like, I just want to have fun talking about toys. I don't care. Like,
yeah. You know what I mean?
Like,
but I agree. Like, I would love to do that. I would love to just be able to enjoy things and not be like, oh, cool. Okay. Awesome. Terrifying news.
Well, like you said a second, you know, when you said about, you know, this is the first time that, you know, people are going to know that you're trans. And I'm like, wasn't that I wasn't, you know, whatever, but I was like, okay. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the word. No, that's so, like, people can be whatever. Like, I could turn into a purple people eater tomorrow and nobody will care half the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we shouldn't care.
Oops. Oh, now JJ's drunk. Great.
Oh, great.
Stand up, you fool. All right. Let's see here. So you were talking earlier about how you like to move your collection around and various things, but in general, how do you like to display your collection of stuff?
So I have my like kind of homemade light up displays. So I have I did like a whole breakdown video actually on my TikTok about how I do my display setup. So I have the typical Billy bookcase that everyone gets from IKEA. I have them in white because I really want to make sure that the Funko Pops can stand out. So I was originally going to go with like red because that's my favorite color. And I also love Scarlet Witch. She's my favorite character, like in basically anything. Like I grew up just loving her and reading her comics. So she's always been the one that I've drawn to, but I didn't like the idea that you wouldn't be able to see any of the detail. So I chose white, and then I also installed like LED light strips that are like adhesive from Amazon, and I just put them around the glass doors. So then the light is facing all of the Funko Pops. So then that way they can light up and I can change the color of them. And I usually do that for a lot of my breakdown videos, which I feel like you've seen some of them on my Instagram. Oh, yeah. So I choose like a color to match the theme of whatever I'm talking about. And that's kind of what I usually do for my displays. I also get those three-tier like a plastic acrylic stands. So that way I can stack the characters. But since I don't keep any of the boxes, they're just kind of designed in a certain way based on either who's my favorite, who's the lead, or like when were they introduced into the project. And that's usually where a lot of my like anime and Marvel stuff is. And then I have some like homemade, I've got some wood that's about the thickness of the Star Wars bases of the Funko Pops, the Star Wars Funko Pops. And I like stained those black and then mounted those on the wall with some screws. And so like my Star Wars collection is all on those shelves because it just matches perfectly like size wise and quantity.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so cool. Very cool. Yeah, I've seen most of your reels when you're doing your Funko Bliss and you're talking about whichever character. I've seen the background of your shelves and stuff, and it is. It's very, very cool. I just
wonder,
well, those lights, like everybody's always like, oh my God, don't put sunlight on well, obviously you don't on boxes, but on toys too. But like those lights aren't going to hurt the, like they're not going to yellow the pops or anything, right?
I've been doing it now for 3 years, and I have not seen any color change. That doesn't mean that it's not happening, but I have not experienced that. And I don't know if LEDs can do that. Like, I'm not a scientist. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But, like, I hope not. But it's something that I guess I've never thought of that I should maybe look up. But
okay, only LEDs which produce no ultraviolet light completely protect fabrics and art from fading. So as long as there's no ultraviolet light, you should be fine.
Cool. Yeah, I don't really have a lot of sunlight in this room, to be honest. So
there you go. That'll work. That'll work. So you mentioned earlier about fleeing places. If you could only keep one toy from your entire collection, what would it be and why? So basically,
I would rather die.
The house is on fire. Every human and pet and everything is safe, but you're about to lose the collection. What would you run in and save?
I'm going back in the fire.
No. Come on.
Okay. I would probably say if there was one I would need to grab. This is really hard. It's not a Funko Pop. It is my Scarlet Witch from WandaVision sideshow, like, statue.
Oh, absolutely.
It is beautiful. Like, the way that they did it, it's like she's on this acrylic red, like, spinning of red energy while she's floating there reading the Darkhold. and she's got her powers, and it's like, and it's the typical powers that you would see in the comic books. Like, it's hex circles, and it's so cool and beautiful. And it's probably my most expensive item that I have, but since she's my favorite, like, I saw it and I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm getting it. And I would probably say that because it's the most beautiful thing that I feel like I've ever seen as a collector of things. Mm-hmm. I would say that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, on that cliffhanger of an answer, folks, we're going to head to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and other stuff from other podcasts that I help promote and all that good stuff. And we'll be back with Chrissy with the rest of the questions right after this.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favorite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me, then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books. And sound effects.
Oh, yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, it's Wes from Popping Off Toys. Wanted to let you know about poppingofftoys.com. We can be your number one source for Funko collectible figures to add to your ever-growing collection. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, we actually have a retail store that you can come by, 5916 Charlotte Pike. And for the rest of us, poppingofftoys.com is always open, and you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. And the name is just simply Popping Off Toys. Thank you so much, and always keep it popping.
For over 6 years, my guests and I have been discussing the soundtracks to our lives. I'm Jesse Jackson, and I've had hundreds of fans from around the world share their stories about the power and magic of all kinds of music. If you enjoy stories about joy, redemption, trials, and ultimately triumph, then please check out Set Listing Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. Remember, there is magic in the night.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
All right, we are back here on ToyCast with Chrissy and her Funko Bliss. And on the opposite side of you can only keep one thing, here's the Toy Box Challenge. You get one, and I assume this is inches because I don't know measurements and I don't know math. You get one 18x18 box, 18x18x18 box, three 18s. The only toys you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
Oh. So I get three of these boxes?
Oh, you get one. One box that's 18x18x18.
Okay. Everything Scarlet Witch related. Everything Spider-Man and Black Panther that I have. My two Miss Marvels and Avatar The Last Airbender and Ahsoka.
Nice. That's awesome.
Those are like my favorite things. I would say that.
Very cool, very cool. All right, folks. The whole reason why we're even here, because I already know the answer to this question, but we are going to be talking about a certain F word that apparently everyone in the toy community hates nowadays, unless they are actually a fan of this. But are you a Funko fan?
Yes, I am. Hell yeah.
Oh, man. What was the first franchise you got a pop from? Do you remember?
The MCU, it was, so I believe my first ever pop was either Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, or it was Scarlet Witch from Age of Ultron. I don't remember because they came out at such similar times and I didn't know what Funko Pops were until then. And I was like at a comic book store and I saw them. I was like, what are these cute, adorable, amazing things I've never experienced? I want them all.
Yeah. I had known this was 2016. Yeah, it was Christmas of 2016. I was staying with a buddy of mine in California. And he had told me he had a few of the Funko Pops. And he and his wife actually had, at least back then, they had a good number of them. But he told me about the Holiday Groot ones that they had out. There's a couple of versions of Holiday Groot now, but at the time there was only one. And I was like, oh, that is so cool. So when I got back home in January of 2017, I started trying to find Funko Pops. And my first one was – technically it was Stone Cold, the 2K16 video game version one, and then Batgirl 66, and then – the original Darkwing Duck Pops were my firsts. So Yeah, absolutely nice. Love that. So yeah. What is it about Funko Pops that you love the most?
I just don't even know what there is to not love about them. Like, it's so hard to think about something specific that I do love, but I like the posing. Like, a pop that has an action pose, I'm sold. If it's kind of just bland and boring, it's, like, fine. But if I like the showing of powers, and you don't always get that with an action figure. Like, right. My Katara-like action figure, it's her controlling a wave of water. Scarlet Witch, she's got energy floating, and I like that sense for the figures. I know not everything has powers, but, like, you know, some Star Wars Mandalorian has jetpack, and there's, like, fire coming out. Like, that's freaking awesome.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I was completely shocked when, because normally I'm one of those people that I'm just perfectly fine with the 4-inch stuff. I don't need, and I have a few of the larger ones. I have a few of the 6-inch ones, and I mentioned the Metallica Black Pop album with the four of them in black and white. But when 10-inch Soundwave came out, I was like, okay, I have to have that. And at first, when those glam shots came out, and I tell the story every episode, so the listeners are probably tired of me telling this, but when that first came out, everybody was freaking out because it's like, wait, he only has 3 cassettes in the box. What did they do? Oh my God. Well, obviously one of them was in his chest, and then you had the other 3 sitting down on the thing. And then people were like, okay, he's got the 4 cassettes, but how come you only have Buzzsaw there? Where's Laserbeak? Oh my God, it's the end of the world. So
yeah.
So I'm just sitting back waiting to be able to go to GameStop to get this thing. I go to GameStop. I get the 10-inch Soundwave. I take him home. I open him up. First of all, I thought the cassettes were just going to, like, there was going to be like this little CNC lathe insert where you could just set them in front. Oh no. That tape deck opens. I was surprised. I didn't think they were going to do an open tape deck, but they did. And I took out Buzzsaw, and I flipped him over, and I'm like, oh, there's Laserbeak. So they got away with essentially 5 characters on 4 cassettes, because you got Rumble and Frenzy on 2 cassettes. You got Ravage. That's 3. And then Buzzsaw and Laserbeak on the final 4th cassette, because they're just reverse of each other. Everybody's just freaking out over nothing. I'm like, give it a break, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
People are very complacent about that kind of stuff. But it's like, I understand you're a fan of the stuff and you want it to be exactly the way that you envision it. But also, like, I don't know. Maybe we just have to be okay with what happens. And who knows? Maybe they'll come out with more and all of those characters as separate Funko Pops. That
maybe.
You know those, like, I think they're called like biddies or minis. Like,
oh, the new ones that come out with
those. I don't think the biddies though, because those are just really small. But maybe like they could come out with a pack of all of those characters.
Yeah.
As minis, like that would be cool. Because like even for me, I was like, oh man, because my partner, he has the Soundwave because he's a big Transformer fan, and I love it. It's so cool that it has like a cassette that you can actually like take in and out, and it opens up. Like, I think that's. Like, that's something that I love about Pops, you know, that, like, I wish that more of them could be like that. But it's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Anything else you want to say about Funko and why you're a fan of them before we move on with the rest of the questions?
Let's see here.
So, I mean, if you want to, again, I can edit this, obviously, this part out. But if you want to talk about, you know, what you think Funko should do differently, that's fine. You can put that here.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. All right. I would say if I could add anything to like Funko collecting is I just wish that there was a little bit more powers, like showing of actual abilities or like any pop that's a flyer. Like, I think that they should be flying. I think like most Iron Man pops should be flying. I love that you can really see and get like a figure that is really showing off something cool. Like, one of my favorite ones is the Azula pop or Aang when he's in like his avatar state with like all four elements floating around him. Like, that's the stuff that I love. And I want to see more of that when it comes to Pops. I want to see something that really showcases more detail and has that effect for them, because it makes them more exciting for me. It makes me really want to go and collect them, and not just, oh, it glows in the dark. I'm like, cool. Or like, oh, here's the Tobey Maguire Pop three times.
Did they have it three times?
Yeah, they have a plain one, a metallic, and then the Collector Corpse one was like,
that's him, just
unmasked in the exact same mold. And I'm like, are you guys that lazy? You couldn't come up with something that was more iconic, something that was really interesting for that box? There's so many cool ideas that they could do, and I just feel like they choose something that's really basic a lot, and that kind of bothers me. I wish that they were more experimentative.
They used to be when they were a collector company. Now they're just a toy company like everybody else, because they're going mass market to everything now.
Yeah.
The Tobey Maguire thing, I would mostly, because I don't have that any of those yet, I would probably get the metallic one, because I think that one reflects the actual suit from the film the best, most likely.
Yeah, but people are saying that it's not even that metallic. Like, I have the plain one, mm-hmm. and it looks similar to the metallic. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Strange. You mentioned earlier that your Scarlet Witch statue is probably the most expensive toy you have, but what was the most money you spent on a toy?
Oh, let me check my list, because I'm going to say that it probably is that.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, there's a close running. Ooh, that's interesting. Okay. It is the Sideshow figure, and it is $252.18, and that's probably the most expensive thing that I've purchased on my own. That is like a figure or a statue.
Very cool, very cool. On the flip side of that, what is the cheapest toy you bought, or what was the best deal you ever got for a figure that may have been worth quite a bit more than you paid?
Ooh, I honestly don't know, like, if it was cheaper than it probably should have been, because I just don't pay attention to that stuff. I don't know. I'm sure that there's like a Funko Pop that I collected that was probably like $4, and that's probably like one of the cheapest figures, toys that I've ever purchased, but I don't know which one.
Yeah, for me,
because it's like I have a list of like 400 pops, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to organize that right now for you and be like,
No, this is exactly the one. But like, you know, you go to a garage sale, or you go to a flea market, or you go to a convention, and you find something for, let's say, $150, and you put it into Hobby DB or the Funko app or whatever, and according to them, they're like, oh, this is actually worth $700. Like, you know. Wow,
yeah,
that's a good
one. That would be cool. It would be very cool to have that experience, but I've never done it.
I haven't either. The closest I've come is I had to buy 3 bottles of Diet Dr. Pepper to get Little Sweet. So I basically spent $7.50 to get Little Sweet in the mail-away thing that they did a couple of years ago.
That's awesome.
Good old Justin Guarini. From American Idol to soda commercials. That's amazing. Love that guy. So are you okay? So what modern and or vintage toy lines are you currently collecting right now? So I guess technically for you, it wouldn't be modern or vintage. It would be like, what lines from Funko are your go-tos?
Yeah. So MCU, I try to not collect anything outside of the MCU, because if I start to dabble, I'm going to want to get everything. But I would say that and Star Wars and anime are my like go-tos, because I really love My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, and then Avatar The Last Airbender, which I want more. I want so many. I have so many ideas of what Funko like could do and make for characters for Avatar Last Airbender. And they just, it's a massive franchise. I mean, the whole show now has its own studio that is making multiple projects. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, Korra came out with a 4-season series, and you have, I think, like, maybe 4 pops from that entire thing, and it's not even all the lead characters.
Yeah, that's
crazy. It's very weird.
Yeah, that is very, very crazy. Yeah, for me, where anime starts and stops is Yugi. I love that show, and I love those pops, and I need to get more of the Yugi pops. Currently, if I remember off the top of my head without turning around, I have the giant Pharaoh pop where it's him on the throne. I've got My Valentine.
Oh, that's so cool.
I've got Blue Eyes White Dragon and Red Eyes Black Dragon.
I loved Red Eyes Black Dragon. That was my jam.
Yeah. Yeah, Red Eyes was awesome. Do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you visit toy shows or conventions, do you have a typical methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're looking for, etc., etc.?
I've actually never been to one, to be honest. It makes me very sad. I want to go, but I want to go with friends. And I want to go with someone that has experience. And I don't know anyone here in Chicago specifically that I'm like close with or know that well. I wish that I did. Like, I wish I had a local toy friend that we could go on like field trips to different things and go collect stuff and talk about it and go to events together. But I would love to. Like, I would love to go to San Diego Comic-Con. I'd love to go to the actual like Hollywood Funko store. It'd be awesome.
What about your partner? Don't you guys want to go to conventions together or no?
Yeah, we would love to, but we've just never done it.
You should look into, I don't know when the next one is. It's either Kane County or C2E2. That's right.
Yeah, I know C2E2. It's in Rosemont, usually, yeah. I believe. Yeah. Yeah. So like I think I want to go this year. It would make me very happy to do that.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Let's see here. What's next? What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, say, for instance, our parents' generation?
Hysterically and sadly, trauma. But also I think that there was a massive population spike. And as technology changed, like video games, someone saw that there was a possibility to make a shit ton of money by not just coming out with something, but coming out with something someone could hold and play with and not just be like a stuffed animal. Because even if you look through history, like toys have always existed. Dolls have always existed. People were drawn to little mini me's of them. And even if they were made out of sticks, like, we still did that. But I think as our population grew and resources, you know, grew, we just decided to have companies make a shit ton of money off of us. And we still do it, you know, because we're fans and we like expressing ourselves in this way.
C2E2 is going to be way after this episode airs, but it's going to be March 31st to April 2nd, 2023. So it's coming up.
To April 2nd? Oh my God, my birthday. Well, it's April 6th, but now I want to go.
Yeah,
I'll that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll shoot you the website after the episode.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. What is your motivation for purchasing toys? To display, play, fiddle, describe your collecting style. Are you a completionist, a storyteller, cherry picker, or otherwise?
I want to know, what is a cherry picker?
Cherry picker is basically like, I'm only interested in Soundwave, so that's the only Transformer character I'm going to get. I'm only interested in Spider-Man, even though there are like a million Spider-Mans, or I'm only interested in you're only picking up like one or two characters from each of the lines kind of thing.
I wouldn't say I'm a completionist because I don't need a whole set of something, But I would say, like, I'm close to that when it comes to certain characters. So, like, I have every Ahsoka pop besides, like, her hologram one. Or, like, I have, because I didn't know, like, every pop existed, you know, because there's no way to know that.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, I'm almost a completionist, but I stay within the realm of characters that are really inspiring to me, that I'm really drawn to, that make me feel something inside, that like makes me go like, oh, I am now bonded with this character in some way. Like T'Challa's Black Panther from the MCU, like that's Black Panther and Wakanda Forever are probably my top two favorite Marvel movies. Even though I love Scarlet Witch, like there's nothing against her for that, but I the moment Black Panther was on screen, I was like, I am hooked to this character. And same with the MCU's version of Peter Parker. Like, I grew up with Tobey Maguire, but I just love Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. I love his Peter Parker. I love his Spider-Man. I think he just, like, is so good at it. So I would say kind of completionist, but more so storyteller.
Very cool. Very cool. Have you ever purchased a toy for a child with the ulterior motive of playing with it yourself?
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe with my nieces, I was like, oh, that's a cool toy. Mm-hmm. And we could play with it together, but I know it's theirs. But it, like,
yeah,
makes me feel good to play with that toy with my nieces and my nephew back in the day when they were, like, actual kids.
Absolutely. Have you ever purchased a vintage toy for a child because you thought it would be fun for them based on your own preferences?
No, but I did get my niece into Funko collecting. Like, she really likes it. And that was kind of, that's like one of our things together is, like, she really likes Funko. So I wouldn't say vintage because, mm-hmm, like, Funkos are modern or... Yeah. I don't know if they're modern. I don't know what to call them.
Yeah, they're pretty modern. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, like, me and her started collecting Funko Pops together, like, when she was pretty young. And so she loves collecting them. And that's definitely one of our bonding things.
Very cool. Very cool. You mentioned earlier about creating this crazy duck as a child, but do you do any toy modifications or customs, painting, building dioramas, etc.?
I sometimes do. It kind of depends. I'm not good at it because I don't know how to fully alter something if I really wanted to, but I did paint. So I have the Billy and Tommy WandaVision Funko Pop, the double set, and I painted Billy's eyes blue.
Oh, wow. That's
to match his powers. And I got like a metallic blue paint and I painted them. And I also did that with my Scarlet Witch, like Civil War Pop. That's like the old one, not the new one, because that one just has not even like shipped yet for some people.
Yeah.
But I did paint that one, like her eyes red, because I'm a big, again, like I'm a detail person. Like I love these details and I kind of wish that Funko would like mix and match material a little bit more. Like I think it would be really cool. Like, you know, the facet material that's now coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not like into those pops really, but I did get the Black Panther one cause I love him. But like, do you know how cool it'd be if like Vision's head, like the Mind Stone was actually facet material?
Yeah. If they did,
that would be so cool.
Yeah. If they did a faceted Vision, that would be awesome. So far.
But even with the Mind Stone, that alone would be cool to like actually have like a stone looking item in his head and not just plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. The faceted stuff that they're doing now, I like you, for me, Black Panther so far is the only one that I've absolutely really, really wanted. Because I think with the way that the faceted design is and the way the purple is on that, it works really, really well.
So beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so pretty. Yeah.
Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
I think that they should have both. And I know that it's one of those things where it's like, there's a fine line between how much a company should be able to make of something. But I think that there should be everything for everyone. Like, I think that there could be kids' toys that are feel very kids' toyish. And then there can be adult ones as well. And there should be a branch between the two of them. So as someone's getting older and wants to go into more collecting as a young adult, they can without it being, $200-$300, for them quite yet until they unless they can't afford that, which is like cool. But yeah, I feel like there should be a variety of things. Like, there are kids' toys that are just kids' toys, but I think adults still collect them if they're a fan of that. And that's cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's going to be very sad.
Do you want to tell it or do you not want
to
tell it?
Yeah, I do, because I think it's important. I think it's important to my story.
Okay.
Yeah. So since I'm trans, I did not present as a girl at a very young age, but I wanted girl stuff so bad. I wanted Barbies. And I had somehow convinced my cousin who was babysitting me by throwing a temper tantrum when I was like a young child, to get me the Ariel Barbie doll that I wanted so bad. And I was looking at it every day at Target or Toys R Us, I think at the time. Like, I was looking at it every time that my mom and I would go to that store, and I was so uncomfortable asking her to get it. And she would say no. And I finally got my cousin to get it for me by throwing a fit. And I had to hide it so then no one would know about it. But of course, my cousin told my dad, and my dad is very conservative, and was like, no, you're a boy and you can't play with girls' things. And he took it in the middle of the night and threw it out.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I never saw it again. And it was heartbreaking, but it taught me a very sad but important lesson, is that if you're going to do something, you're going to have to find a way to manipulate to get what you want. And I hate that lesson. It's not something that I want to promote in any way, but because of that, I found a way of playing with girls' things the way that I could, which was I found boys that were in my grade that had younger or older sisters. And I would ask to come over to their place for like play dates, and I would ditch the boys the instant that door closed and my parents left. I was playing with the girls, and I was playing dress up, and I was playing house, and playing with Barbies and dolls and stuff, because it's like, I needed that. That was my safe space to be myself. And the girls loved it. Like, the girls that I was friends with, like, they loved it, and they didn't see it as being weird. It was the parents. It was the older parents that then would shame me for it and like tell my parents behind my back and stuff. But it's like, also, it was like during the 90s, like, it's not going to be great probably, but, and I know it still happens today, I'm sure, but.
Yeah. And I think it's because our parents and our grandparents and older relatives, they come from a generation where none of what's currently going on in the world was going on. Like, there was no, gender identification. I mean, obviously there's gender identification, male, female, whatever back then, but like, there was no specific other gender identification kind of stuff. Like, they come from a completely different generation than what we've grown up in.
Sure. Like, I hear that. There were trans people way back in the day. There always have been, and people knew about it, but it was just shunned upon. Like, yeah. It's not that it wasn't there. It's not that it didn't exist. It's that people saw us on TV and they were afraid. And so they tried to like not let their kids get into that realm. That's just what it is.
It was a different time back then, and hopefully today things will start getting better. Like, hopefully things have gotten better now, and hopefully they continue to do so, because, you can't you got to move forward. You can't go backwards in certain things and whatever else. All right. Do you feel you are coming to an end for your active toy collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you? Was there ever a moment where you were done with toys altogether? Like, I'm selling my collection. See you later.
No. Absolutely the fuck not. Okay. I'm nowhere near being done. I love it.
Very cool, very cool. What is...
Am I allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. I don't care.
Cool.
Yeah. That's what the explicit tag is for.
Yeah.
What is something that does not have a toy of it you'd love to have in toy form?
Oh, man, I have a list. Let me pull it up. Okay. I legit have like a list of my favorite or like somewhat favorite ideas that I think should be Funko Pops. Let me.
You are the first person answering this question that basically doesn't stutter, doesn't whatever, says, oh, wait, let me pull my list out and let me tell you. You were the first.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, it's called Blissey's Funko Wish List. Okay. So a lot of it is Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, I would absolutely love to have a Toph when she is covered in rocks as armor. But as a chase version of that, I want it to be when she is wrapped in her metal armor when she is in the final season and she learns to metal bend. And she, like, these poor firebenders are just like, we're flying an airship. And then there's this little blind girl who just busts down a metal door. And they've never known that metal bending is possible at all. And she throws herself on the door and then wraps it around her body, gets up, and then just decimates this team. Like, what an iconic moment to have in a show. And, like, I want that as a Funko Pop. I just think it would be absolutely killer. But I think that it would be very interesting if they did, like, a rock version as the normal and then the metal as the chase. Just because she does this a few times in the show. And I just think it would be absolutely amazing. And I would say that's, like, my Avatar one for Marvel. There's one that I know. Okay, there's actually, I'm going to say that there's two, and they're both really important. One is Pietro from Age of Ultron. I don't know why the fuck we have not gotten one yet. I think it's so odd. I think it's such an odd choice. Like, he literally was on the team fighting with them the whole time. And he died. And that's it. Like, why does he not get a Funko Pop if he died? Like, we got a Captain Carter from Multiverse of Madness, and she gets ripped in half. You know? So I would say that. And then I want so bad an Ironmonger, like, 6 or 10 inch Funko Pop from Iron Man 1. Because, like, that's our first villain in the MCU. Why do we not have an Ironmonger? Like, why do we not have an Ironmonger Funko Pop where it could be like him and the bobblehead is Obadiah Stane, like, inside the suit, and that's the bobblehead version. Or even having two where, like, the Ironmonger helmet is a bobblehead and Obadiah Stane, like, is inside the suit and it's opened up and he's also a bobblehead. You could have two bobbleheads in one Funko Pop.
That would be interesting. That would be cool.
It would be, but, like, I don't know who do I send this to. How do I get in touch with Funko? Because I have a list of, like, over 100 ideas of what I think Funko should do as Pops.
There was something,
and I just want to know.
There was something recently in the last few months where they were like, "Send us your ideas" or "Send us your suggestions." There's something on the website somewhere. I'll have to see if I can find it, but because I remember when they first announced that they were doing that, it was like my first thing was, okay, I want an Alf Pop. You give me an Alf Pop from 1986 and I'll be happy.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that. Could it be Flot?
that could be the chase, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What is a toy that you'd love to have scaled up and functional for the real world?
Do you say toy or Funko Pop in particular?
I said toy specific.
Okay, general, okay.
But yeah.
It's a weird one because I'd not mention it. So my favorite DC character is Black Canary. And I would love to be able to have this like statue of Black Canary that if you want people, like if you're hosting anything or you're going to like a protest, bring it with and you literally like tap a button and it's just like the sonic scream.
Yeah, the canary cry. Yeah.
The canary cry, like that would be so interesting to have because it would just be really cool, I think. Because yeah. I love her. She's my favorite in the DC world. Yeah. And there's not enough Funko Pops of her. There's only like two or three.
Yeah, I think there's two or three. Yeah. There's just, I don't know. It's just the way it is, I guess. I don't know if it's the way the license is or the way whatever is with Funko and with the company that, you know, the licensor and all that, but it is what it is.
They need more variety for the characters and less same ones. Like, there's too many Pikachus. You can come out with other Funko Pops. Like, we're ready for more variety of characters.
Yeah, absolutely. How has your partner dealt with your collection and collecting?
I mean, it was hard at first because I didn't have a massive collection until the pandemic really started and, like, blew up because that's just like when I was like, cool, I'm going to start really diving into this because this is where I want my money to go. And at first it was hard. Like he didn't really get it at first. But now he does. He's so supportive and he loves my content and he loves every time I get something new and I show him and he gets so excited for me because he sees the joy that I have about it. Like he sees my enjoyment and pride and excitement for something. And so he has really grown to love and appreciate it. But at first it was hard. I think that it's hard anytime you're like questioning, you're like, well, what's the point of this? Or is it an addiction? Like, is there an issue with it? Is there not an issue with it? And those are always going to be tough questions to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of tough things, toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect you tend to struggle with the most?
I don't know. I really don't know if I have an answer for this because like, I don't think that I overspend. I don't think that I go above and beyond to get like everything that's out. Like, you know, some people collect Funko Pops of a franchise that they don't even know. That bothers the shit out of me.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Like, why are you getting the really cool, awesome looking One Piece and you don't even watch the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, let the fans that are fans of something get that. I would say if there's one problem in the collecting world, that's not me, is people that buy a massive amount of pops to up the price of them to like $200,
$300. Yeah, that's...
I hate that. You should have a limit to like how many you can get from any place. It just bothers me. I don't know. I just hate it. It pains me to know that there are people out there that are new to collecting and they have no idea that there's even a Funko website that you can get them from Hot Topic or other stores and they're going to look for them and then they're going to spend more money than they should on something without having any idea. And it's just taking advantage of people and I hate it. It just boils me.
Yeah, it just sucks. Like I remember when I think... Yeah, it was Flocked Bullseye from Target. It was at Icon Bullseye. The day that came out, there was me. I was literally right at the front door, and there were like eight other people around me. And I just kind of looked back, and I'm like, everybody here for Bullseye? They all nodded yes. And I just beelined it to electronics. I'm like, I just want one Bullseye. If I need to pay for it here, I'll pay for it here. If I can take it up front, I'll take it up front. And I was able to – luckily, I was able to get my Bullseye, but – most of the time, sometimes on those drops, they're like, yep, nope, everybody already got it. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. And there are people that are walking out with like more than one.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, okay, so yes, more than two, I don't get. Two, I understand. If you want to keep one in the box and open one, fine. That's just toy collecting in general that I understand that. But with Funko Pops, you can take these things out of the box and put them back in the box. There's nothing in the box that is going to, like, if you take, like, a Transformer or a DC, like, one of the McFarlane DC toys now, where it's like it has a strip here, has this here, has that here, holding the figure. Obviously, you're not going to be able to get it. But the Funko Pops, you can get these things in and out of the boxes fairly easily, so you shouldn't really have to buy two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, can you explain to me what is the point of getting two of something if one's going to stay in the box and one's going to come out? Like, because I just don't understand, I think.
So with regular toys that are not Funko Pops, like with Transformers specifically, if it's packaged in vehicle mode, maybe you buy two so you can transform one into robot mode and keep the vehicle mode one packaged kind of thing. That's always been the mentality of that kind of thing. But that's specific to other – like specific to Transformers is for that.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Interesting. Okay.
What is one positive and one negative memory you have with buying toys?
Okay, positive. There's so many good memories of it. Like, I remember, okay, one really big one I would say was going to the comic book store with my niece and, like, looking at all of the Funko Pops and just seeing the joy. Oops, sorry, hold on.
Okay.
One really good memory I would say was going to the comic book store with my niece and also my nephew at certain points and being able to look at the Funko Pops and just be overjoyed with seeing these, like, youngins see something that they just absolutely love. Cause it was like a mirror.
Yeah.
Like, I got to see myself in them and see the joy that something was bringing them brought me joy. So that was, like, a big one. But I would also say, like, getting a specialty pop that I was not thinking of that, like, existed, you know? And seeing that in the world and being like, oh, whoa, that just blew my mind. And I would say recently that would be the Ahsoka Rebels pop where she's in her, like, white cloak. Yep. With the hood.
Yeah.
I did not know that would ever be a pop because it's an epilogue.
Yeah.
Of a show. And to see that, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Very cool, very cool. If you could create any toy, what would you want to create? So basically, Funko gives you the keys to the kingdom. No budget is too high. What would you want to make?
Oh. That is such a cool question. This has probably been my favorite one so far.
Yeah.
And it's like one thing you're talking about?
Well, I mean, you know, they give you the keys to the kingdom. What's one toy you would want to create if you had the power to create one of the toys for them?
I'm going to look at my list again. It's so hard to pick one. Because, again, like, I have a full list right now of, like, 70 or something like that of ideas. Okay. I would love to have a really cool, honestly, like, an awesome build-a-scene of Avatar The Last Airbender when it is the Aang gang. So it's Aang, Katara, Toph, Sokka, and Zuko. And I think that there's some extra characters in this, but I can't remember. When the villain that's like Combustion Man or Sparky Sparky Boom Man or Sparky Sparky Boom Guy, doing his like head blast at them when they're in the one of the air temples. I just think that would be awesome to like have them all together. And, like, he's blasting at them. Because it's kind of one of the only – like, they do a lot of fighting as a team. But Like, the final battle is just Aang and Ozai. So this is kind of one of those cool battles where they're actually, like, up against someone pretty tough.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Avengers build a scene or, you know, shawarma or something like that, except it's the full-on. Yeah, that would be really cool. That would be awesome to see, actually.
Yeah, I would say, like, that or just, like, my entire Avatar setup that I wish existed.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome. What is the one piece of advice you would give the toy collecting fandom?
Chill. Relax. Relax. Like, stop being so uptight about
That's
it.
What everyone says.
It's okay. Like,
Have you ever seen the 2003 remake of The Italian Job?
Yes.
Okay, in that movie, Mark Wahlberg's character and Charlize Theron's character go to see Skinny Pete. Skinny Pete is a fat guy, and it's the whole thing. And his little girlfriend there is telling him to do this and do that, and he just turns to her and says, "Baby, go relax." And sometimes that's all I can think of is some of the things that happen in the toy collecting fandom. It's like I mentioned earlier about the Soundwave, like, let's wait and see what the product actually is.
Yeah.
Just give it a chance. Yeah. Don't, like, there are certain, like when Funko comes out with announcements or when Disc Trackers shows off things early, it's like, okay, I kind of like that, but it's not a character I absolutely have to have. Or for me, it'll be like, oh, I'm not really into that, so it's not for me. It could be for somebody else, kind of thing. And then for me with Funko lately, it's like, oh, another art, like you were mentioning earlier with the same molds, another R2-D2. Here's something they should do. I don't think they've done this yet. If they have, I'm sorry, listeners, I haven't looked this up. Was it episode 2 or episode 3? Have a flying R2. That's the R2 Funko Pop.
Yes, but that's what I'm talking about. Like, stop doing the same shit. Yeah. You can come up with new inventive things. Like, I don't know if there is one, but is there a Pikachu, like, Pokemon Funko Pop that's, like, actually shooting electricity? Like, there are other options than using the exact same mold over and over again.
Yeah.
Just to save a buck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy. What is advice you'd give to kids who enjoy toys?
Don't let anyone ever tell you shit. Like, just ever. Absolutely. Just keep doing you. And don't listen to them. They're liars. They're fucking liars. They're jealous. They wish that they could be you.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We're going to go to one last quick ad break, and we're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cowhorned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
One of the primary themes of ToyCast is that we focus on throwing it back to the past. We are who we are today because of the nostalgic memories and experiences from our childhood. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this show if it weren't for the toys that made us so addicted to nostalgia. Throwback Toys Chicago is your primary go-to collectible store to reclaim the toys that drove those memories and experiences. Specializing in action figures from all of your favorite toy lines like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, Silverhawks, Ghostbusters, TMNT Mask, and more. Get your dose of nostalgia with a shop run by collectors for collectors. Whether you are looking for a loose G.I. Joe ice cream soldier, a packaged Leonardo, recent Star Wars Black Series figures, or an AFA-graded Boba Fett, Throwback Toys Chicago is all about throwing you back into your geeky obsession with toys. Visit the shop at 1450 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, just two blocks south of Ashland and North Ave. Call the shop at 847-830-1031 or email them at tbtchicago@gmail.com. Visit them and give Throwback Toys Chicago a chance to throw you back to your childhood. All right, we are back here on ToyCast. This is episode 174. I think this is going up sometime in April, most likely. So, folks, I am here with Chrissy in her Funko Bliss. Anything else you'd like to say before I run through our closing here?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok under Chrissy's Funko Bliss. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me be here. This has been a great experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the thing I aim for every time, is to get the stories of any and all fans that I can, whether it's toys, cartoons, podcasting. What else do we do around here? Comics. We do all kinds of stuff. I have all kinds of origins around here. So thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple, Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio, @tftoycast for the show. I am @tfg1mike. You're not on Twitter, are you?
I have one, but I don't really use it that much besides following disc trackers and Funko news.
Okay, no problem. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out ToyCast over there as well. Are you on Facebook? Like a Facebook page for you?
No, I don't like Facebook. It's okay. Scary.
Yeah. Social media in general.
They're so scary. Mean.
I don't get it. It's like, can't we all just get along? Next time on ToyCast, it is 175 episodes, and I think my good buddy Optimus Solo is going to return, and he was featured in episode 100, where we spent 5.5 hours talking about various toys and the history of the podcast and all that good stuff. But since I've been doing ToyCast Origins, I was waiting for him to move and to move his collection and whatever else, and he actually, it's funny, he moved from... Where did he move from? He moved from where the... Oh, God. McChesney Park. Whatever. He moved from Illinois to Florida. I don't know why. Florida. Too much heat. Need that snow. So my good buddy Optimus Solo is going to be here next time. Oh, yeah. And, folks, coming up soon, we are going to be doing the GeekCast Radio Network's Top 100 Toys Countdown. We've done 7 countdowns so far, and toys will be number 8. So for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Chrissy's Funko Bliss.
Join us next time when we'll be talking more toys here on ToyCast.
Bye.